Welcome to Listen, Learn, and Love, hosted by Richard Osler. Today's show is about the conversion story of Hannes Durant. Our hope is that sharing this podcast, and I have Hannes along with two of his friends here to share his conversion story, will help us all build faith in the restored church and also give vision to other people who may be interested in our church. We're grateful for our producer here who's with us, Thomas Garbett. Thomas Garbett knows Hannes and is part of the conversion story. We're grateful for his role. Who is here with me? First, we have Hannes Durant, age 21. Hannes moved here in 2010 from South Africa and joined the church in 2014. We also have Matt Osler. Matt Osler is 22. My son, friend of Hannes, and fellow rugby team member. We also have Braxton Chipman here. Braxton's 21. Is a high school friend and was part of Hannes' conversion story. So we'll first talk to Hannes. Hannes, tell us about your family and why you decided to leave South Africa, a place you loved, for America.
Well, thanks for having me here, Papa Osler. I'm happy to be here. The reason we left South Africa is just... it was getting to be a little bit dangerous, and it was very expensive to send us to school, college as well. My mom was an American citizen, so it was easy for her to get green cards for myself and my sister. And so my mom had a spiritual impression, we were Methodists at the time, that we needed to move over to America. And so she just kind of sent it, and here we are today.
Tell us about your airplane ride in January of 2010. You landed in January in the middle of winter. I think you left South Africa then
in the middle of summer.
Tell us how old you were when you landed and what your first impressions were of arriving into America and Utah for the first time.
I was about 13, 14 years old when I landed. And I remember just being very jet lagged. It was a long flight, very emotional flight, because we were leaving all of our family and friends to come to a place we've never been before. I remember landing and I went to the closest store to get a Dr. Pepper because I'd only seen it on Forrest Gump and really wanted one, and I paid $4 for one of them, but it was really good. And then I remember coming outside into the freezing cold and my mom's good friend was standing there ready to take us over to our new home. That's about what I remember.
Tell us about your dad. Introduce us to the story of your dad, because on the plane with you to America was your mom and your sister and you. Tell us about a little background on your dad.
My father was diagnosed with brain cancer about a couple months after my sister was born. And then it went to remission, so my mom and my dad decided to have another child. And while my mom was pregnant with me, the brain cancer came back in stage 4 this time. I was born, and then my dad passed away from brain cancer when I was about 11 months old.
Thanks for sharing that. That's part of Hannes' conversion story and life story. Tell us about your friend Deirdre Farr that met you at the airport in Salt Lake in January of 2010.
Deirdre is my mom's good friend. My mom was an outstanding track athlete. She ran for South Africa. And one day she was running, and there were BYU scouts there, and they decided to give her a full-ride scholarship. She wasn't Mormon, she wasn't a member of the church, but they gave her a scholarship to run. She came to BYU for a year. She met Deirdre. They were good friends, moved back to South Africa, got in contact with Deirdre when she decided we were going to be moving to America. So she was our one contact in America when we moved here, about the only person we knew.
And I've had the chance to meet Deirdre Farr as well as this Hannes' mom, and they're two incredible, wonderful women. So you tell us where you lived and who you lived with and also your experiences for the first time with a Mormon ward.
When I first moved here, when I was still in South Africa, my mom was telling me about stuff like Boy Scouts. I really liked the outdoors, so she was talking with a scout troop in Sandy, which is where I lived for the first little while. And so I really enjoyed that. I didn't know what a Mormon was when I moved here. Everyone was telling me when I was moving to America to watch out for the Mormons because they have lots of wives. But I was like, the president of South Africa is 14. I don't really see the big deal here. But when I came over, you know, they were very, very nice, very friendly. A couple of them were a little kind of judgmental because I wasn't Mormon. But I don't know. I just didn't really pay attention to those guys, honestly.
Tell us about going to Wasatch Junior High and your first interactions at junior high with fellow Americans.
The first interaction I had with like an American kid was, it was my first day at school. I got
and you this, came right in the middle of school.
Yeah, right. In, so it was the second semester of seventh grade that I came, and there was this girl. I won't mention any names, but I was at school early. The hallways were empty. I was a new kid, and I was kind of just walking around trying to see the school. And this girl comes up to me and goes, "Hey, you're new." I said, "Yeah, I am." And she goes, "Are you Mormon?" And I said, "No." And she just looks at me and kind of went, "Ah," and walked away. And I was like, "Whoa, what the heck?" So I didn't have a very good image of the Mormons on my first day at American school.
And I think that's good for all of us just to hear how we sometimes interact with people that are new and the first questions we ask and how those questions can be sort of dividing in this line in the sand type questions. I'd like to now turn and have Braxton Chipman talk a little bit. Braxton was with Hannes at Wasatch Junior High and Skyline High. Tell us your earliest memories of Hannes, Braxton.
The earliest memory I have was on that same day, Hannes' first day at Wasatch. I remember I was leaving my class, headed with some friends to go to lunch, and Hannes comes in the hall, and one of our good friends, Stephen Barrett, introduces him, says, "Hey guys, this is Hannes Durant. He's from South Africa. He just moved here." And being a big sports guy, I asked if he was related to Kevin Durant, and Hannes didn't like that because he didn't know who that was. But we accompanied him down the halls. We went to his locker. He opened up his locker, and Hannes, you remember what he saw?
Dude, there were some chips in my locker.
There's some chips. He just found a random bag of chips in his locker, and probably the quote of the year came when he said,
"It's like free chips, cool beans."
Yep, that's what it was. And ever since that day, it was just kind of developing a friendship, hanging out with Hannes at school on the weekends, and seeing him play football for the first time was really cool. He was able to play for Brighton Little League, watching him play rugby, the sport he loves, for Highland Rugby, then Skyline Rugby, seeing him play Skyline football, seeing him just really become very, very, how can I say, accustomed to everything here in America, from coming from South Africa and to coming to a place like Utah, and to become so loved was something that is always is thought of when you think of Hannes, because anyone that has met him just loves him. There's never been a bad thing said about him.
That's cool, Braxton. Did you see him as someone that might join the church one day?
I think at the start, between seventh and eighth grade, we as a group of friends still didn't know how the best way to share the gospel was to Hannes and to invite him to come unto Christ.
I remember you guys used to invite me to come play church ball with you.
Yeah, church ball. Church ball is a great missionary activity. Breaks the ice. As long as you don't take it too competitive. But when we got into ninth grade and Hannes started taking seminary, that's when I started to see that, honestly, he could join the church one day. And even if he didn't, it would still be great because he would still be such a great person and a great kid. But when he started coming to seminary, learning about the Book of Mormon, the questions that he would ask about just the scriptures in general, about the Bible, about everything, led to some pretty good conversations and led to me truly believing that one day he would possibly join the church.
Thank you, Braxton. Hannes, why did you take seminary as a non-member moving here from South Africa?
It's a funny story. So Deirdre Farr, who we talked about earlier, when we first moved here, we stayed with her for a little while. We lived with her for about 12, 13 months till my mom could find a job and we could buy a house. And she told us if we were going to live under her roof, me and my sister, we had to take seminary. And it's kind of like an ultimatum almost. I had to take seminary. And I was excited to take it. It was Old Testament that year, so it wasn't something that I didn't believe in. So I kind of saw it as just a way to learn more about the Old Testament. And I liked it, so I kept going.
And did you feel Braxton and Stuart and all the other friends had an agenda to baptize you Mormon, or did you feel like their friendship with you was pretty unconditional?
I honestly never felt that. I didn't even know that was a thing, to be honest. I didn't know baptism was a thing, so I didn't know that they were trying to, you know, I just never felt that from them.
That's good. It's a credit to Braxton and Thomas and Luke and all of your friends that they just saw you as a classmate, just wanted to be your friend. There was no sort of agenda that had a specific outcome, and that friendship could have ended if that outcome didn't happen. My first memory of Hannes was in 2013 when he was a junior at Skyline and Matt, my son, was a senior at Cottonwood. Matt Osler introduced me to Twitter. At that point, I was interacting a lot with the high school age kids and got to know Hannes a little bit through that and just felt what a great man Hannes is. Let's turn to Matt. Tell us how you became friends with Hannes, Matt, because here you are at Cottonwood and Hannes is over at Skyline.
Well, first off, I would like to take all credit for all of Papa Oster's tweets since I introduced him to Twitter. You can follow me at MattOst7, two T's in Matt, number 7. Okay. Second, so...
It's true.
At HanesDR, give me a follow.
anyways, so I remember, to be honest, I was friends with Hannes' older sister, Danae. I kind of like Danae, you know? I was working on it, but... one day, Danae just became like one of the bro friends. She was just a cool girl. And one day, she brought home her brother. And we thought, whoa, Danae, we didn't know Danae had a brother. Like, that's pretty cool. Because Danae was cool. We figured he was cool. And so we just got hanging out with Hannes. And I think we hit it off pretty quick as friends. Just all of us, me and a couple other kids that didn't know Hannes that knew Danae. We're hanging out quite a bit. I just remember we would just sit in his basement and play video games and drink a lot of Mountain Dew and Red Bull. And that pretty much defined our first few months of friendship, I'd say.
That's pretty accurate.
Tell us about soccer. I don't know if Matt wants to talk or Hannes wants to talk about soccer.
We'll tag team this one.
Well, first off, we played rugby.
That's right.
No, well, that's okay. But soccer is a part of the story. So
it is a part of the story.
So maybe you asked the right question. I just remember I was training to play for Cottonwood's soccer team. But then Hannes comes in and says...
I was trying to recruit for the Skyline rugby team because we didn't have a whole lot of players. And I got a bunch of players from Cottonwood to come play. And I just had this feeling that Matt really had to play rugby with me. I didn't know what the feeling was at the time. But I just really felt that he had to play rugby. And I was working on him, trying to convince him to play rugby forever and ever and ever. And he's like, nah, man, I think I'm just going to play soccer. And I looked at him and I said, Matt, what's a girl going to like more, saying you play soccer or saying you play rugby? And then Matt said, all right, I'll come play rugby with you.
And that was it. You know?
That was it.
Then the girls just came flocking.
Yeah, 17 years old, that's what I was worried about. So
I love that story of you connecting with rugby. And Matt loved rugby, and I love watching your games. Let's fast forward to 2014. May of 2014 is when things sort of turned into high gear regarding Hannes seriously considered joining the church. So Matt at this point had his mission call and was leaving in a few months to the Sydney, Australia North Mission. And Matt and Hannes are rugby friends. So tell us about how the church came up and how that led to Hannes being more interested in the church.
I got it. I remember we're driving back home from rugby practice, and I stole Hannes' starting spot. And
I got injured. He didn't steal my spot.
I still took the spot.
I tore my ACL.
Anyways, and so we're driving back one day from practice, and it was me, Hannes, and our friend Jalen Allen. Jalen, if you're listening, we love you, man.
You're
it's been
man.
A while. By been a while, we'd like to catch up. But I think Jalen said something about Mormons or the mission, or he asked me about my mission or something. Do you remember the details?
Because we were listening to music and a song came on and Matt didn't feel comfortable listening to the song, so we skipped it. And Jalen was like, why the heck do you skip that song?
Direct quote, I'm sure.
If that's probably what he said. And then Matt was like, you know, I just don't feel comfortable listening to it. I'm preparing to serve a mission. And Jalen was kind of talking about, like, why the heck do Mormons serve missions? And Matt said something like, it makes me happy, so I want other people to be happy. And then I was kind of impressed with that answer, and I was sitting next to him. And to this day, I don't know how these words came out my mouth, but I was like, Matt, if you need to practice being a missionary, practice on me. And as soon as I said that, the thoughts came to my mind, like, you idiot, you just gave the Mormons permission to teach you. At this point, I knew that Mormons try to baptize people, not unlike when I was 13.
And I remember I heard that and I was like, oh sweet, Hannes just is like wants me to practice teaching. He's not like whatever, like interested in listening at all. I went home and told my dad, and then my dad's like, no, like we need to actually teach Hannes this stuff. He's not just saying that, like there's something about it over the years that has made him interested in what you have to say and what the church has to teach.
So that led to Hannes, Matt, and me all meeting at Applebee's in May of 2014, where we had lunch together. And during that lunch, it became clear to me that Hannes is very spiritual and very deeply religious young man. I learned, as we've talked about, that he was enrolled in seminary at Skyline and had some significant spiritual experiences in his life, including an experience in the sealing room in the Brigham City Temple during its open house tour during 2012. Hannes, will you share a little bit about that? This is the Brigham City open house where anybody can come. Obviously, non-members are welcome during an open house to be in the temple. So could you tell us a little bit more about your experience in a Mormon temple for the first time?
Yeah, sure. I remember it was when I was probably about 14, 15 years old. Still didn't know a whole lot about the Mormon religion. But there was a very good man in the ward boundaries that I was living in at the time that knew that my mom was fascinated by the Mormon temples, so he got us all tickets to go to the open house, and he took us through. And I remember walking into the ceiling room, and in the ceiling room there's mirrors that are opposite each other, so they reflect back and forth and back and forth, so it's just unending reflections of the same image. And I remember that someone came up to beside me and just said, isn't that the coolest thing? It's like looking into your future and your past and seeing your past family and seeing your future family. And as soon as they said that, I felt this presence. I felt like my dad was with me in the temple. I'd never felt his presence in my life before. He'd been dead for 15 years. And I just remember just breaking down into tears and running out of the ceiling room, and I found it was the weirdest thing. I found a door with nothing but one chair inside of it, and I just sat down in the chair and cried for about 15 minutes while I'm sure everyone was looking for me. And then they found me and asked me what was going on, and I told them I had no idea what happened and tried to be tough and act like I hadn't been crying, but I was crying.
That's really cool. Thank you for sharing that deeply spiritual experience. And at lunch at Applebee's, Hannes shared with Matt and I a little bit about that experience. So our lunch ended, and Hannes and Matt went one direction, and I went to my church assignment. And as I was driving to my assignment, and Hannes agreed to have the missionary lessons. At lunch, he said, I'm not ready to talk to the full-time missionaries, but Matt, if you want to teach me the gospel, just like the promise he made, I'd be glad to. So with that in the back of my mind, and I think a date set up for our first lesson at our house in this very room this podcast is originating from, I was driving to my YSA assignment. Then I had an impression that was very distinct to me. I got the impression to invite Hannes to be baptized in our very first lesson. That was a scary impression. And I remember talking to Matt later about, as we were preparing for that first lesson, I said, Matt, this is what I think we ought to do. I think we ought to invite him to be baptized. What did you think about that, Matt?
I remember thinking, like, Dad, this is a high school kid. We can't just start inviting people to be baptized. He's going to freak out. Like, this is one of my friends. And I think I had every right to think that. But I remember you telling me that you felt like it's what to have happen. And so I needed to. So I went and prayed about it or whatever. I remember the day before, the day of the lesson. It was a Sunday, if I remember correctly. And I was going to mission prep, preparing to go on my mission in like a month or two. And I remember all we did at that mission prep lesson the entire time was practice inviting people to be baptized and talking about why we do that and why we do that early on when you're a missionary, and just helping to set expectations. And so I remember standing up and telling the mission prep class that I had been praying about this thing. My dad had this prompting and we were going to go invite my friend to be baptized. And I didn't really know how to do that or what was going to happen, but I was confident between what you received and what going to that class, that's probably what needed to happen.
Thank you, Matt. I've actually never heard that part of the story. It's great to hear more of the backstory of Hannes' journey into this church. Soon, May 29th arrived. It was 4:00 in the afternoon, according to my notes. Hannes arrived with the scriptures, ready to learn. We opened with prayer and then taught about the restoration of the priesthood. And then a whole 15 minutes into the lesson, I felt impressed to read from Acts chapter 2, verse 37, which reads, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and asked Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the Holy Ghost." Testifying to Hannes that he'd been pricked in his heart with the experience he felt throughout his life and the current spirit in the room, we invited Hannes to be baptized. Instead of choosing a date for Hannes like I did as a missionary in England and as missionaries to do today, Matt and I had the strong impression to testify to Hannes that there is a very important date for him in late June or early July, and he needed to be baptized on this date. And that's about the last thing I said. And so Matt and I, acting on the spirit that we felt, extended this bold baptism invitation to Hannes in 15 minutes of his first lesson. And we had no idea how Hannes would receive that. We wondered if he'd leave. we'd wonder what would happen. But I could tell Hannes was touched. And Hannes, tell us your thoughts of what was happening at that point.
I remember sitting here in this room in that chair, and I remember you reading that scripture about baptism, and I thought to myself, oh boy, they're going to invite me to be baptized. And you guys invited me to be baptized, and I sat there for a minute, and I kind of thought, like, okay. And then it wasn't until Dick said to me, and there's a very, very special day towards the end of June, beginning of July. I don't know what the day is, but that's the day you'll be baptized on. He didn't say that's the day you should be baptized on, but he said that's the day you will be baptized on. And when he said that this just immense feeling came over me. I just remember starting to cry like I did in the Brigham City Temple, because the day that he was talking about was the 28th of June, which is the day that my father passed away on. And I was sitting there, and this overwhelming feeling came over me. I don't know how to explain it, but I was sitting there for a while, just crying. And Richard or Matt didn't say anything for a while. And I remember just sitting there for about 10-15 minutes, and then Papa Osler finally said, "What do you feel?" And when he said, "What do you feel?" I felt my father's presence as clear as day. I could actually feel like a hand was on my shoulder. And I told him, I feel my dad. My dad's here." And then Richard said something like, "What's he telling you?" And I said, "He's telling me to do it." And so I accepted, and I said, "Sure, I'll be baptized on the 28th of June."
It's a great story, Hannes. Thank you for sharing that. There's a great spirit just as we share this conversion story that I hope everybody on the podcast can sense. Matt, tell us your thoughts as you're watching this happen.
I just remember, you know, knowing that I was about to go be a missionary. And I remember first is, I mean, hearing my dad teach Hannes, I mean, for me was thinking, wow, I really need to figure out how to be a missionary because I don't know how to do this. And second, I realized very quickly how important it was as a missionary or just in life when you're making decisions, how much it can benefit you to have the Spirit there. And I mean, that was the biggest takeaway I had from the whole experience is that, I mean, Hannes was feeling something special and my dad and I were feeling something different than Hannes was, but something special as well, that there was something happening in the room, you know, connecting us with all with heaven. And I mean, I just remember that feeling and thinking that whatever was happening at the time was meant to be happening the way it was happening.
There's some wonderful principles of this conversion story. One of the principles is to be able to go with the Spirit. There was some things that happened that were a little unorthodox here. We hadn't at this point invited the full-time missionaries. So the full-time missionaries who are the authorized servants to extend baptism invitations didn't extend this baptism invitation. And we'll talk more about how the missionaries got involved. It was very unusual, and it's the first time I've ever been in a situation where a baptism date was not offered. And that was very late in the game impression to me, maybe the very day of our lesson. I felt impressed after that lunch to invite you to be baptized, but that impression has never come into my mind before and it has never since. With all the baptism invitations I've extended on my mission and a few since then, I've always felt impressed to talk about a specific date to work towards. So I just testify that that was from Heavenly Father and from your Father. We said a prayer. It wasn't a very long first lesson. 15-minute lesson, 10-minute baptism invitation, closing prayer. Maybe it lasted 30 minutes or maybe longer, but the experience will last our lifetime. I remember tweeting out the next day, I will never forget what happened yesterday for the rest of my life, hashtag honored. As I left that meeting and drove right to my church assignment, I felt the presence of Hannes' dad. I didn't feel his presence during the baptism invitation. I felt the Spirit there and Heavenly Father being guided us, and I was grateful for Hannes' experience of his father there for him. But then I felt Hannes' dad on the other side of the veil more strongly than I've ever felt someone on the other side of the veil before in my life. I remember where I was driving. I remember looking up and to my right and feeling Hannes' dad. And I just felt this overwhelming sense of responsibility that I call him Papa Durant. Hannes' dad had entrusted me and his family to help his son and his entire family. I spoke out loud to him in the car as I was driving and made that commitment. While I would never try to replace the role of Hannes' dad, I felt and still feel co-partnership with him to raise his son and do all I can to help his family on this side while he is doing everything he can on the other side. Let's talk a little about Matt. It was time to call the sister missionaries. And we gave Matt the assignment to call the sister missionaries that were in charge of bringing, teaching people the gospel in our ward.
Yeah, well, I remember I actually spoke to them at church is what happened. And I just went up to the sisters. I said, hey, my friend wants to take the missionary discussions. And the sisters are thinking, wow, it's a miracle, you know? And then I followed that up with, yeah, and he wants to be baptized on the 28th. And they said, I just remember them looking at me and thinking like, are you serious? Like already? Like he's already in? I'm like, yeah, he just kind of needs to know what he's signing up for, but he already committed. And they were just, I mean, I'm sure, I don't know what's happening in the sisters' lives, if they're praying for a miracle or if life was hard. But I mean, as a being a missionary, I mean, that would have been, I mean, that's probably a very, very good feeling. So the sisters were great throughout the entire experience as well. And I just remember them being very excited initially and throughout the experience to be able to teach Hannes, especially when he was already so committed to making this decision.
Thanks, Matt. Braxton, when did you become aware that Hannes was getting baptized?
So throughout this whole process, Hannes played it pretty close to the chest. I actually went back today knowing that we'd be talking about this on my old phone, looking at old messages with Hannes. And it was, I think, a week and a half before his baptism, right before me and a couple buddies and our stake were about to go on trek. And I think we'd heard rumors and everything. And I just texted Han. I said, yo, are you being baptized next week? He goes, yeah, dude. I was like, all right, well, I don't want to invite myself or anything. He's like, no, everybody's invited. I'll tweet it out tomorrow. And so we left on trek and came back. And that night, that exact night, we came home from trek. Hannes got baptized, and it was a great day.
I might know that it was probably the most well-attended baptism ever.
Because yeah,
Papa Osler tweeted about it, I'm sure. So it was quite a few people.
100 plus faves.
I was very much wanting to tweet about Hannes' baptism, but Matt kept saying, "Be careful, Papa.
I think it was Hannes that finally tweeted.
Hannes finally tweeted that he was getting baptized, and we all retweeted it. I remember, and all of you that have served missions know that you sometimes have these incredibly spiritual experiences with an investigator, and you're always nervous about the next lesson. And sometimes things dramatically change, and they forget that spiritual experience. But I remember the very first lesson with the sister missionaries, and Hannes was just absolutely laser-focused. There was never a question about Hannes getting baptized. And as we've talked, I'll never forget Hannes' baptism on June 28th, 2014. That would be 18 years from the day that his father passed away. The room was packed. I don't think Hannes liked all the attention, and he certainly wasn't keen on getting in that one-piece baptism jumpsuit and being photographed. I was actually worried that might be a deal-breaker. When he saw that one piece.
I didn't want to get in that thing, man.
But he did get baptized that day. Any thoughts, Hannes, you want to share about your actual baptism?
I remember it was late at night. It was maybe around 7 o'clock at night because, you know, Braxton and a bunch of friends are coming back from trek, so we made it pretty late. I remember that whole day, I went to bed at like 5 in the morning, specifically so that I could sleep through the whole day so that I wouldn't have to think about it. Because I didn't want to just sit there by myself and think about it. I woke up probably around like 2 or 3, and then I had about 4 hours to prepare for the baptism. And I just remember going, and I just did not want to. I wasn't too bad about getting in the jumpsuit. I didn't want to get pictures of me taken in the jumpsuit. But it happened. We have photographic evidence.
Pixar didn't happen.
Yep, it happened. I remember, and I remember just walking down into the water, seeing Matt already waiting for me inside of the water. I remember saying to myself, oh my gosh, this is actually happening. In about 20 seconds, I'm going to be Mormon. And it was just the weirdest thought that came to my mind.
Braxton, your thoughts on the baptism?
Like Matt said, it was very well attended. Probably we had half the attendance of Cottonwood students and Skyline students, plus parents and friends from other schools as well. But for me, and especially from a friend group point of view, we knew Hannes very well at this point after 6 years of being his friend. And we knew that he's a man of conviction. And so when he was doing this, he was going to do it for real. And there we were, juniors in high school, and we might have been caught up in the high school things, caught up doing what high school kids do. And it was a wake-up call for us to see Hannes' example of truly wanting to do something to change his life, but something that I think changed everybody's life that day that was at that baptism. So,
great perspective, Braxton. Matt, any thoughts to add on the baptism? And it was cool that you baptized him 2 weeks before going the MTC.
Yeah, I just remember, I just remember once we had been teaching Hannes how real the idea of me going on a mission was and how Braxton talked about that perspective. I mean, that really started coming to me very clearly quite often. And being able to participate in that for Hannes. I had just gotten back from trek as well that same day, I remember, and that night I was able to baptize Hannes. And I just remember being very grateful for the opportunity to be able to use my priesthood and that I actually believed what was happening was real. And I think there was nothing better to do for mission prep than practice being a missionary. I mean, you can learn and read all you would like, but feeling the spirit and working with it and participating in something like this with someone you know and love, I mean, that was very special for me. And I just remember thinking how much it could and would be impacting Hannes, which I was grateful for.
These are great thoughts. I've never thought of the perspective that some of you have shared on a Hannes example on fellow high school men and women that were trying to figure out their own direction in life. And I think that became part of Hannes's ability to lift and help other people with his bold example to be baptized. That was June 28, 2014. On July 15, 2014, a Sunday, it was time for Matt's farewell. Matt leaving to the Sydney North Mission. And the youth speaker with Matt was Hannes Durant, giving his very first talk. And Matt, do you have some thoughts about that?
Well, I gave a farewell talk. I don't remember exactly what I talked about, but I just remember thinking how cool it was to have Hannes there speaking, because like it's one thing to become like a Mormon, you know, but it's another thing to start speaking in church, you know, when there's a farewell and there's
two weeks later.
And it kind of for me realized that Hannes wasn't only going to be a Mormon, but whether he liked it or not, he was going to be like a pretty good Mormon. he was kind of all in this thing. And I think, I don't know when he kind of realized that, but I remember sitting there watching him speak at my missionary farewell, just thinking, wow, Hannes is a Mormon, like full on. And he's not kind of a Mormon. He's not sure about it. He's speaking in church Mormon. I mean, he's taking good steps.
That's pretty Mormon.
Yeah, and this is in front of probably over 700 people. Matt's a pretty popular guy in high school.
I peaked, so big day for me.
That was a great meeting. Matt, you gave a great farewell talk, and Mama Osler and I love you, and we're so proud of you, and we were so pleased to hear Hannes speak with you. Later that night, after Matt's farewell, Hannes texted me, and he said, Matt is going to be an outstanding missionary, and his faith and testimony have made me consider a mission, maybe a little early, though. Matt went to the MTC the next day, and at the MTC, you know, there's just those few minutes where parents drop off their missionary at the curb, and Matt brought a rugby ball and held the rugby ball up. You want to talk about that, Matt?
I don't remember playing this out that much, but I think looking back on it, we can make it pretty cool. You know, this rugby ball was a symbol of what rugby had done through the Lord's power to help Hannes, and all the rhetoric in the picture was very, very clear.
Very poetic.
Very poetic. I mean, it was beautiful. But I think at the time I wanted a picture with a rugby ball because I love rugby, and that was probably it.
I love that answer.
We'll edit that out.
Yeah, we can edit that out.
After Matt left on his mission and Hannes has been baptized for two to three weeks, over the next 9 months, I didn't feel impressed to bring up a mission with Hannes. Like I had been so direct with the baptism, it was a completely different impression. And the thought that came to my mind that I wrote down is, this is one of my choicest sons. Trust him. He will figure this out for himself and will serve a mission. Braxton, at this point, you're both, Matt is gone, and you're seniors at Skyline High School. Tell me how much you were talking to a mission about Hannes.
All the freaking time. Oh my gosh.
So it was an interesting time because as a senior myself with all the rest of our friends, it was the do or die time to really decide if we were going to want to go out right after high school. And so almost every day at lunch, I remember I would come in with one of my friends. Hannes would already be sitting at our designated table in the lunchroom. And we'd say, hey, Hannes, you start your mission papers yet, bro? And he would give us a kind of just a shoulder shrug and be like, I don't know, guys. I don't know. And that's how it was throughout pretty much all senior year. And it was kind of just, it was for everyone, honestly, to kind of just help each other, whether that was their decision to go on a mission. And if it wasn't, to still show that support, but to show that that's what some of us had already decided at that point.
Hannes, your thoughts at this point with your Skyline senior friends bringing up a mission?
I knew they were all going to serve missions. You know, they were raised Mormon. That's the thing you do when you're raised Mormon. And I remember Braxton bringing it up with me all the time. I didn't take it as like him preaching to me or anything like that. I just saw it as a joke and I thought it was kind of funny. So that's about what I remember. And I just remember that these kids were all you know, trying to get everything straight. And they were, I could see the power of the atonement in their lives really taking over and helping them to, you know, become the men that Heavenly Father wants them to be before they start to serve their missions.
All right, it's spring of 2015. Hannes has been a member of the church. He's still a senior at Skyline High School, and he starts to go to a mission prep class with some of his Cottonwood friends at Jerry Hyde's home. Tell us about mission prep at Jerry Hyde's home.
I remember that all of my buddies from Cottonwood who were in my ward were going to mission prep, and they weren't huge fans of the mission prep because it was like an extra hour of church that they had to go to. They had to wear their church clothes. My one buddy showed up in his regular street clothes and they chastised him for it, so he was pretty mad about
that. Who was that? Give him a shout out.
It was Kobe Hyde. Shout out to Kobe Hyde. And I just remember we were hanging out at Kobe Hyde's house one night, and our buddy Cole was complaining, like, man, this mission prep stuff is stupid. I don't want to go to it. I wish we could just do it, you know, informally but still learn. And Kobe's dad goes, I mean, I used to teach mission prep. I can teach you guys mission prep if you want to. We'll do it here. You can come in your street clothes. We'll have fun, but we'll also learn. But he said, I'm going to need each of you right now to verbally agree to come to the mission prep because I don't want to spend time making a lesson if you guys are not going to show up. So we kind of went around the room and looked us all in the eye. I was like, are you going to come? Are you going to come? Are you going to come? And I think our great producer of the podcast, Tom Garbett, was there. And we said, yeah, sure, we'll come. And I kind of, the only reason I said that I'll come was because it was a way for me to hang out with my buddies on a Sunday. You know, I wasn't planning on serving a mission. I'd been accepted into Utah State where I was going to go to college. Wasn't planning on a mission at all. And then we went, and probably in about the third or fourth lesson that we had, Jerry Hyde was teaching about why we go on missions, and he asked a question. He said, so what, I want to know, why do you guys think we go on missions? And he went around the room, and we had some pretty good answers. We had things like, because the prophet said so. We had things like, because my mom wants me to. My one friend said, because chicks dig RMs. They got to me, and I said, you know, honestly, I think it's just like a responsibility kind of a thing. And then Jerry was talking about, he's saying to us, you know, those are all good reasons to go on a mission, but let's talk about the real reason we go on a mission. And he shared the story of after Christ was resurrected, he was crucified and resurrected, his apostles went back and they were fishing again. That's all they knew how to do. They went back and they fished. And Jesus was standing there on the shore, and he sees them fishing, and he looks at them and he goes, hey, have you guys caught anything? They go, no, not yet. And he goes, throw it on the other side of the net. And I'm sure the apostles at this point, you know, they were like, okay, hang on, this is some deja vu or something. Peter realizes the Savior, swims over to Christ, and they have some fish. And then after they had eaten, Jesus looks at Peter and he says to him, Simon, Peter, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And Peter looks at him and says, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus looks at him and says, well, feed my sheep. And he says that three times. And as Jerry was talking about that, the point he wanted to make was that we don't serve missions because our mom wants us to or because it's an obligation in the church, but we serve missions because we love Jesus. And when he said that, I had this voice come into my mind, and I'm pretty sure it was my own voice, and I asked myself the question, well, do you love Jesus? And I kind of sat there for a minute. I was like, well, of course I love Jesus. What are you talking about? And then the same words popped into my mind, well, then feed my sheep. And it was at that moment that I decided, well, I guess I'm going on a mission.
That's a great story, Hannes. I remember on Sunday night, March 8th, 2015, Hannes sent me a text asking if he could go out to dinner with Sheila and me. And he shared with us the very experience he just shared with you in the podcast. And I remember thinking to myself a couple things. I remember thinking, well, of course, Honus would serve for the highest reason for serving. If ye love me, feed my sheep. I remember thinking to myself that I shouldn't be surprised, as D&C 29:7 teaches, that my elect hear my voice and harden not their hearts. I remember thinking how the Lord works through different people. Tom, Braxton, Matt, Michelle, Deirdre, and now Jerry Hyde. I remember feeling no impression to talk to Honus about his mission. But here the Lord had Jerry Hyde lined up and queued up to provide the experience that Honus need to help him have the personal revelation he received regarding serving a mission. Sheila and I later went to dinner with Michelle, Honus's mom, and felt her support for Honus's decision. I admire the faith and courage of Michelle and Danae, Honus's sister, to send their brother's son out to serve a mission for the Lord 2 years. I remember my wife in a later conversation with Michelle, Honus's mom, telling her how much we admire her for supporting her son in his desire to serve and the sacrifice it would be for her to have him gone for 2 years. Michelle responded with, "Yes, it is, but oh, I've done harder things." I thought to myself how true this is. During this time of Honus deciding to serve a mission, I was aware that it was a significant sacrifice for him. I remember him talking to me and saying, you know, these young men have prepared their whole life to serve a mission. And here I've been in the church just for a few months, and now I'm considering shifting gears. I've been admitted to Utah State. I'm really the only man in my house with my mother and my sister, and is the right thing for me to do? And I remember admire Honus for acting on the impressions that he felt and trusting the Lord that his mother and sister would be okay. And it should be noted, talk about your mother's journey into the church at this point, Honus.
My mom was baptized, I think, about 6 months before I was. I didn't even know she was planning on being baptized. She kind of just came home one day and was like, "Hey, I'm getting baptized in 3 days. It'd be cool if you guys would be there." And we were like, "What? Okay, we'll be there." She got baptized. She didn't force any of us to take any lessons with the missionary. She just wanted us to do it for us and not for her. Like I said earlier, she had run at BYU. I'm sure she had some run-ins with the missionaries there, but she just had never, you know, she had never decided to join the church. So I think this is just a testimony to everyone of the Lord's timing and that, you know, he does things at his own pace.
I love the fact that you and Michelle had very different journeys into the church, and hers was over the course of several decades, and yours was a much shorter, compressed time frame, and each of you had personal revelation that came at different times based on different circumstances to join the church. Honus bravely put in his mission papers, and Friday, May 22nd came, the day that it was time for Honus to open his mission call. Tell us about where you did and where you did not want to go.
I remember on my knees one night, and I was praying, and I was like, "All right, God, listen, if you don't send me to Fiji, I'm not going on a mission." And I don't know, he didn't like that a whole lot, I don't think, because when my call came, it definitely wasn't Fiji. But I remember I wanted two things. I didn't want to speak Spanish, and I didn't want to go stateside. And when I opened my call, it was Chicago, Illinois, Spanish speaking. And as soon as I had read that, just this immense joy came over me, and I knew that it was where I had to be. My mom was actually born in Illinois, so the whole reason that we're in America today is because she had citizenship. It was easy for us to get green cards to move to America. The place where I would be serving my mission would be the place that gave us the ability to come to America and eventually learn about the restored gospel.
Well said. I remember sitting in the back of that room, Honus, filled with your friends. I'm silently praying in my heart that you would go to Fiji or that you would go to the Sydney, Australia North Mission and Matt would be your trainer. But I knew the Lord had a different plan. But I was stunned when you read Chicago, Illinois, and then I was stunned because I could tell how deeply you were touched about serving in Chicago. and you told us a little bit about that. Later that night, Hannes sent an email to our family at 2 a.m., the night after his mission call. Chicago, Illinois, Spanish-speaking. My mom was born in Illinois. The reason we are living in America today is because she was born there and had an American passport. Now I'm going to be serving in the place where my family's journey in America started. Absolutely insane. Today, for the first time, I realized how real God is. His hand is in everything. There's no way it's coincidence. Sure, there are cooler places to serve than Chicago, Illinois, but because of this call, I no longer believe the church is true. I know the church is true. I know this firsthand and can't wait to testify to whoever will the gospel and gladly receive its message. The next thing in Hannes' journey was to become an elder. On August 8th, 2015, Hannes was ordained an elder by my son and Matt's brother, Adam Osler, who did a great job. Michelle was at that ordination, and she talked about and really set the motion in place for much of the things that would now happen before Hannes served his mission when she said, "Hannes is the link between the past and the future." I wrote down how profound that is. I can sometimes see Hannes' dad standing near the veil on the other side with hundreds and maybe thousands of ancestors with their hands symbolically on his shoulder, knowing that his son is the link to their saving temple ordinances. The next thing of significance that happened was after being ordained an elder was for Hannes to receive his endowment. He received his endowment in the Newport Beach Temple on August 11th, and something there happened to me that was to both of us. And as we came into the temple, and I had the privilege to be Hannes' escort, we met with the temple recorder that went through all of Hannes' family information. And I remember for the first time, do you want to share that experience of just the recorder, or would you like me to share it, reading your father's name?
It's better that you share it, I think, yeah.
I remember sitting with Hannes as the recorder read the name. He read Johannes Daniel Durant II. That's Hannes' dad's name. I had the overwhelming feeling that Hannes' dad knew his name was being read in the house of the Lord for the first time, and how close he was to receiving his own saving ordinances by proxy through his own son, and how far he'd come from leaving earth life early in that family home 19 years ago in South Africa. Then it was time for Hannes to start to do ordinance for his father. Do you want to tell us about why you chose the date for your dad's baptism? Do you remember that date?
Yeah, we went and we did my dad's baptism and confirmation on August 20th, which was his birthday. I'm not sure how old he would have been, maybe 50, 53. And so we decided to go ahead and do the baptism on that day. And I remember Papa Osler said something like, "Wow, that's probably the best birthday gift you could give someone."
I remember that day and just remembering, here's Hannes' dad that had been gone nearly two decades. Hannes, you know, lost his dad at 11 months, but here on his dad's 53rd birthday, that the son that was only with him for 11 months had the chance to give his dad this wonderful birthday gift. And I thought, does it get any cooler than that? Then the next milestone, which was only 3 days later, was August 23rd, and that was time for Hannes to do the endowment for his dad in the Brigham City Temple. And Hannes, Braxton, Luke Morris joined us for that trip up to the Brigham City Temple. Hannes, talk a little bit about why you chose that temple.
We spoke a little bit earlier about the Brigham City Temple and the experience I had in its in the open house for it. So it was only fitting that we would do the endowment for him then. It was a very, very cool experience. It was especially cool to have one of my good friends, Braxton and Luke, there to share that experience with me.
Any thoughts on that day, Luke? I mean, Braxton, you and Luke had your mission calls at this point. You were all three getting ready for your own missions, and here you are doing this proxy work for Hannes' dad.
Yeah, I think this is when, for me and for Luke, we kind of got the grasp of the bigger picture of everything, of why truly we serve missions and why we put in the hours of preparing and leaving our families so that other families can eventually receive this happiness as well. And it was just a great experience to see that firsthand and to be there for Hannes and his dad on that special day.
Thank you, Braxton. Matt, any thoughts as this is playing out while you're on your own mission?
I was just pumped because, like, I don't remember. I think I would, when I emailed Hannes, I probably told him every time to serve a mission. I don't know.
I don't remember.
I don't remember either. I mean, I would assume you're probably a missionary. Yeah. You're probably saying stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I was AP. So we can edit that one out.
Don't edit that out. Please don't edit that out.
Anyways.
Making Tom's job hard, guys. Come on.
It was fun, though. Anyways. Yeah. He's getting paid. wow. Okay, yeah. So I think on my mission, I just realized I really wanted, I was very proud of, like, Braxton and Luke. I mean, I just remember leaving Braxton when I left, just telling him how much I believed in him and, you know, how much his senior year was going to be able to impact others. And to see that happening was, I mean, it felt very good to see my friends growing in the way they were. And that Hannes was growing in the way that he was, and that they were, that Braxton and Luke, I mean, were really, I mean, a part of allowing that to happen. And that, I mean, I actually, there was a picture sent to my email of my dad, Hannes, Braxton, and Luke. Bins wasn't there, was he?
Mm-mm.
No.
It was just through for you. And I remember you were standing in front of the Brigham City Temple, and I printed that picture off, and I actually had it on my desk the rest of my mission, just because it was just a good reminder to me of the people who are important and the progress that can be made. And I just was so proud of everyone in that picture.
Thank you, Matt. Soon it was time for Hannes' farewell on August 30th, 2015, in the Cottonwood 13th Ward. I had the chance to speak with Hannes. Hannes was the first speaker and gave a great farewell talk. That congregation, Braxton was on the front row, Tom was there also, but that congregation was filled to the stage, and it was filled with, for the first time, I've never seen so many people from multiple high schools attending one farewell. It wasn't just all the Cottonwood kids or the Skyline kids. It was kids from all over the valley. As I finished my remarks, I did something I've never done before. I asked Hannes to come to the pulpit and stand next to me. And I told Hannes, I said, I want you to make a visual of this congregation. On those cold Chicago nights or those hot summer days, maybe when you're discouraged, I want you to bring back this picture of your minds of all these people, plus so many others on their missions right now who love you, are proud of you, and believe in you and are praying for you. There's your family. Remember, you were once a 13-year-old young man who stepped off a plane in January, not knowing a single person in Utah. Now look at you, all the people that love, support, and believe in you. Hannes, that same story will repeat itself in Chicago. When you wear your Elder Durant missionary name badge, you're wearing that for your father, your earthly father, your heavenly father, and your savior. At times, you will feel your father serving with you. He will give you impressions on what to talk about and what to say. He give you impressions on staying safe. Act on those. You are also walking the streets of your grandfather, who died shortly before you received your call. I have to believe he will be there with you. You're a man of faith and courage, and I promise this year, obedient, the Lord will make you an incredible and effective missionary. Any thoughts on your mission in Chicago and how that played out for you, Hannes? I wish we had some of your companions here to talk about you.
AP. I really didn't feel prepared to serve a mission. I mean, I'd been a member of the church for a year. I had no idea what I was doing, but it's no missionary knows what the heck they're doing. But I honestly, when I got to the MTC, I kind of, you know, I hadn't read the Book of Mormon all the way through. I wouldn't have been able to tell you the chain of events that led up to the restoration. I was pretty scared. I thought I didn't know my stuff, but I quickly realized in the MTC that you learn your stuff. And I remember, oh man, I don't even know my stuff in English, and they're making me do it in Spanish. I think my mission was the single most important thing that I've done in my life so far. It has made me who I am. I know so much more about the gospel. I know so much more about the Savior, Jesus Christ, and his role for every single person here on the earth. And it was just such a great experience. I'm not going to sit here and say it was easy, because it wasn't. But nothing that is worthwhile is easy. And then, yeah, that's all about all I got to say. You can edit.
Thank you. Thank you, Hannes, for sharing a little bit about your mission. About a year into Hannes' mission, I remember, actually before a year into Hannes' mission, I remember an email I got, and Hannes was teaching about the temple ceiling to non-members and talking about the power of temple covenants. And Hannes in this email said, "I'm not sealed to anybody, and how much I want to be sealed to my family." And Hannes, working with his mission president, received permission for many of us to travel to Chicago, where Hannes was serving, and meet in the Chicago temple. At this point, Matt Osler was home from his two-year mission in Sydney, and Hannes was prepared to act as proxy for his dad. And if you can imagine this, it's time for Michelle, who's now obviously a member of the church and endowed, and Hannes' father, who's been on the other side of the veil but has received by proxy his endowment, for them to be sealed together as a couple for time and eternity. And who better to kneel in proxy representing his father than Hannes? And I'm not sure it gets any better than that. And I remember being in the temple, and I followed Hannes into the ceiling room. As we went up a few stairs, I was behind Hannes, and as he started those stairs, he was Hannes. And when he finished those stairs, he was his dad. And I remember him kneeling. Obviously, he still looked like Hannes, but I remember him kneeling across the altar to be sealed by proxy, so that his mother and father, this marriage that ended early, the marriage didn't end, but Hannes' father's mortality ended, now was sealed forever. And guess who the witnesses were? As there's two witnesses to a sealing, I thought it how wonderful it was. Hannes' mission president, President Bingham, and Sister Bingham, who we love and Hannes' loves, and Matt Osler, his rugby player, now back from his own mission, that witnessed this sealing. And then it was time for Hannes to be sealed to his parents. As Hannes said, "I'm not sealed to anybody." And I was honored to kneel and represent Hannes' father across the altar from Hannes' mother, as Hannes then joined us at the altar, representing, of course, Hannes, as he was sealed by the power of the restored priesthood to his parents. And it just doesn't get any better than that. And I think of the statement Michelle made at Hannes' ordination to be an elder. Hannes is the link between the past, representing all these wonderful relatives, and the future, representing Hannes' life and the posterity that he's building and the joy he's bringing into other people's lives. Any other thoughts on from Matt, who was there, or Hannes on the Chicago Temple experience? Matt, your thoughts?
Just that it was, I don't know, it was cool to see someone go from the beginning of not being a Mormon and not wanting to be a Mormon to being sealed in the temple, and to see him on his mission working so hard. I just think, I mean, that was so big to see that all come full circle that way. And I mean, we were just all honored to have been there and to have been a part of it, but to see that it was something even bigger than what we could have orchestrated or created, as it became eternal.
For me, I think it was just such a testimony to me of the reality of Heavenly Father and how much he truly loves every single one of his children. I remember thinking to myself, if he has done all of this for me, I can't even imagine what he's even beginning to do for other people, because I'm just some kid from South Africa. I'm not important at all. But to him, I was important, and to him, everyone is important. I remember just sitting there at the temple thinking to myself, wow, this is really happening. The last place I would have ever seen myself was in a Mormon temple being sealed to my family for time and eternity while I was a Mormon missionary. And that was just another testimony to me of what Isaiah said when Heavenly Father said, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways, even as the heavens are higher than the earth. My ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. We don't know what's going on in Heavenly Father's mind, but I know that everything he does is for our benefit. Everything he does is so that we can return to live with him again one day.
Well said. Just let's see if anybody has any closing thoughts. Braxton, any closing thoughts as we wrap up?
Just that I love this story, especially a little biased because it is the story of one of my best friends, but to see how many people have already been affected by Hannes and everyone that was a part of this this great story. On my mission, I had the special opportunity to share his story with people that I was teaching and talking about any aspect of the gospel, about the Book of Mormon, about baptism, about the temples, about baptisms for the dead, about family history. There was a lot of times where I shared this story with investigators, talks in church, and whole congregations were able to hear and be affected by this story. And I think of how great it is that the little things that happened in the beginning, throughout the middle, and at the end have really and will always come full circle. It's a true testament to just whatever we're doing, as long as we're doing good, it comes from God, even though how little it may be.
Thank you, Braxton. Well said. Matt, any closing thoughts from you?
I just want to first give a shout out to our tech guy, Tom Garbett, sitting to my left. He's been flawless, and we're grateful for him. I think for me, it's a testimony that God can do anything through us if we're just trying to be good, you know? And I wasn't a perfect kid at, you know, 17, 18 years old. I knew I wanted to go on a mission and I was, you know, had a call and I was trying to be good, but no one's perfect. But, you know, God put me in a situation to bless someone because he needed that someone to become something. And we don't have to be perfect to do good. And I think sometimes we can get overwhelmed by this idea of trying to become like Jesus. We're trying to become like Jesus, and it's a process. And if we're trying, we can have the power to do good. And I mean, from a conversation in a car on the way back from rugby practice, I mean, the Lord has brought so much into Hannes' life and his future family's life, into our lives. I mean, the faith that it's built for all of us. So I think, you know, anyone who wants to do good can do good. Anyone who wants to change lives can. And I think this is an example of that very clearly, and of our need just to rely on the Lord and trust his timing and the plan of God.
Hannes, any concluding thoughts from you? Well said, Matt. Thank you.
I'll just reiterate, to me, this is just a story of how much Heavenly Father truly loves every single one of us. If he can do all of this for me, you know, I don't see myself as anyone important by any means. But if he can do this for me, he can do this for anyone. He can mold you and make you into a better person than you could have been by yourself. I know that more than ever the Heavenly Father lives, that he loves us, that he sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to atone for our sins, to atone for everything, so that we could return to live with them again one day. And I'm just so thankful to the Oslers, to Matt, to Papa Osler, to Sheila, to everything they've done for me. I really think they're the real heroes of this story, because if they wouldn't have answered that spiritual prompting that they had, I wouldn't be sitting here right now. I don't know where I would be, and I don't want to think about where I would be. So I just want to take this time to shout out to Papa Osler, to Matt, to the whole Osler family, just to tell you guys thank you for everything that you've done for me and my family.
Thanks, Hannes, from my wife and I and our whole family. That concludes our podcast. We're grateful for Tom and Matt and Hannes and Braxton for being here. This podcast reminds me of this wonderful conversion story and the principle that God is involved in all of our lives, and he loves all of us. His love is unconditional. He will always walk with us. We don't need to be perfect to be worthy of God's love and worthy of God's hand in our life. And it's my belief that he loves all of us. And accepts us where we are and just wants us to continue to try to take a couple steps forward, maybe a step backwards, a few more steps forward. He loves us, and he's involved in all of our lives. And thank you for joining us.